Welcome to Chris Cast Season 2, Episode 23, is it? Let me check. I'd hate to be wrong. Da 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 da. Episode 23 it is. This one is a follow-up to episode 22, when and wherein I talk about whether or not BLM wants anything to do with standard aptitude in America, or if standard aptitude is the language and culture of the oppressor and should be dismissed as white supremacy in America. And I wanted to follow up about a personal story about my dad, and so that'll be right after these messages.
Oh, thank you.
Welcome back to Season 2, Episode 23, A Beautiful Prime Number. My name's Chris Abraham, and I probably sound like I'm from New York or New Jersey. I can't help it. I only lived in New York until I was 6, and then moved to Hawaii, and there became fluent, even if you will, fluent, culturally immersed in Pidgin English, which sounds kind of like this. Like, if I did the entire podcast in Pidgin, it would sound pretty, interesting to some people. But, the thing is I'm pretty understandable in the Pidgin English, But when you go Hawaii, you don't understand Pidgin English, then it's really hard sometimes to break into the cultural conversation, which of course, is pretty good because, it's important to keep the haole out so you can talk about him behind his back, and that's cool, yeah? And the haole's like, hey man, I don't know what you're saying, speak English. And you'd be like, oh, that's funny, a freaking haole. Anyway, this story is about my dad. I didn't know this growing up, so it wasn't a bug in my ear. But when my dad grew up in New Jersey, he had a really strong Northern New Jersey accent, like cut it with a knife. I can't even imitate it. I know that my Uncle Jack and that my grandma and grandpa, grandma and grandpa, who I called grandma and grandpa, because my mother's side was Nana and Papa. I know that they had a Jersey accent that you could cut with a knife. And years later, after my dad died, I heard all kinds of, in 1995, I heard all kinds of stories. And you know what my dad did? He bought an entire, do I have them? An entire series of books on pronunciation, diction, and elocution, proper elocution, and taught himself how to properly speak the president's English. I wouldn't say the Queen's English, because he didn't speak BBC English, but I never thought of him as speaking anything but neutral American English. And he did that for himself. He did that for himself after the Marines. He did that for himself before he started applying to jobs at BBDO and other advertising firms in New York City. He wanted to leave the regional, provincial, and extremely, judgmentally targeted accent of his, you know, Northern Jersey people. He thought it was garbage. He thought it sounded, made him sound dumb. And he thought it made him sound ignorant. So my dad went through the proper process of basically doing an Eliza Doolittle. The rain in Spain falls mainly on the plain, the plain, the plain. Through repetition, wrote and practiced, normalized his American English to about the same quality that I have, because I learned it from my mom and dad. My mom came from a pretty upper middle class, affluent New Jersey family that spent most of their time in New York, and my dad came from a lower middle class, working class, factory worker family. And as a result, you know, had this working class Jersey accent, which, you know, strangely enough, New Yorkers don't realize that they have that accent, but they definitely know what Jersey white trash sounds like. And my dad did not want to be burdened with that. He did not want that to be something that was fighting against him. He had studied fine art and was a painter and illustrator, and then became a photographer, and he wanted to be able to, quote, pass. And by passing, I mean he was a very ruddy, tanned, Hungarian Czech man with curly hair and could tan like crazy in a big Eastern European nose that now doesn't look that big. But when I was little and everybody around me was Asians from Hawaii, it seemed like we all had big noses in my family, which when I look at my nose now is completely false. Anyway, my dad went out of his way to be able to pass as a douchebag New Yorker. And so because this is a major part of my life, growing up in Hawaii and needing to pass as local, even though I was Haole, I needed to pass as at least some sort of beach bum ally, friend of local Hawaii, and not a look down their nose at local people, Punahou kid. And then my dad's attempt and a successful attempt to shed his Jersey accent, his thick, ignorant-sounding, judgmentally a stone around his neck, and then my mom and dad's insistence that I not allow my grammar to erode, even though I lived in Hawaii, and even though speaking pidgin or even speaking grammatically incorrect or grammatically imprecise English was perfectly acceptable, at least in my social circles, in my parochial school. Maybe that wasn't accepted in Kahala or Hawaii Kai or whatnot. But I'm really grateful for them. I'm really grateful to them. I don't believe that that was in any way... maybe it was taught, maybe the word white supremacy just wasn't used, right? But the word that was used is the concept that what used is was that I want you, when you open your mouth, to people know that you are an educated, sophisticated, enculturated, urbane person, and not a Yahoo, not a Wahoo, not a Goomba, not bridge and tunnel, not provincial, not lowbrow, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And because, you know, you look at me, I'm a brown-haired, brown-eyed white dude who just happens to tan well because of my Eastern European melanin. Nobody's going to mistake me for an African-American person, an American descendant of slavery, or anybody who's black. So it was never about white supremacy. It was about class supremacy, right? It was about being able to pass verbally through both dress and words and intellect to be able to pass as high as possible in the caste system, to be as readily acceptable to the people in power, people high in the America's caste system or high in America's class system, or even as high as possible in the ivory tower. And it worked for me because, you know, since 2001, 2002, I've been a very popular member of Renaissance Weekend, which is, you know, you can't get a more elite a family than that. They're awesome people, but surely some of the most educated, experienced, global, jet-set, I don't know, amazing people who have claims around the world in science, literature, education, university, the academy, law, everything. And, you know, it's relatively diverse as you'd expect, considering that America is, you know, and what America is and how expensive it is to attend and the cost of time and the availability and opportunity costs and all those other things. You know, it's a self-selecting group that's extremely worthwhile to attend. So I do not fit in there. As I become older, I think my roots show more and more. As my dad grew older, his roots showed more and more. He was less interested in passing and more interested in letting his own freak flag fly. And I think that I'm extremely embarrassing to a lot of my friends that I have from my 20s, 30s, and even into my 40s because of my unwillingness to hide my eccentricities, my unwillingness to hide my gray hair. But I do declare that, you know, if American culture, if speaking white is white supremacy, I dare say that 80% of white people do not make the mark, right? So if speaking white is white supremacy, then 80% of white Americans are not able to put a proper sentence together, cannot control and direct their grammar, their diction, their elocution. They cannot make themselves understand verbally or with a written word. They do not know the difference between two and two or there, and there. They almost flout it as a sign of defiance, lack of interest in even knowing. So from my point of view, it is a shibboleth. Look that up. It's just shibboleth. It is a passcode. It is a secret code word that either says that you are well-bred, well-brought-up, well-educated, well-spoken, well-read, and ergo probably decent. As a short code, the way you speak, how you handle yourself, how you dress, even where you live, etc., password, is a unspoken way of being able to cut in line in terms of whether or not you will receive almost instantaneous trust and certainly understanding. So I don't know if that's if the concept of all white culture, white learning, white education, and white speak, if you will, which I will define just as educated, educated and academically proficient urbane cultural code shifting is less to do with race and way more to do with caste and class. So that's my idea. If you believe that, if you reject that type of, I mean, you can be, don't doubt it. You can be a billionaire and you can speak like an idiot, and everybody in that special club is going to call you an idiot and say that you don't belong, and that you're gauche and you're garish, and you are ignorant, and that you are a moron, and that you're a douchebag, and all these other things. There's no guarantee. A beautiful education, even if it includes, if you will, a sort of de facto finishing school like my dad did with his books, is a way better investment than just cold hard cash. And not having, if you will, the ability to code switch into what's considered, I don't know, what is it? Highfalutin. If you can't speak highfalutin, then the world's going to be a lot harder for you. That should be the title of this pod, particular episode, episode 23 of the podcast. Thank you, and talk to you after a interlude. So apparently, maybe this episode 23, season 2 of Chris Cast might be called Yin's Guys Better Speak the Highfalutin, or Highfalutin as a Second Language, or something like that, because it's really important. I mean, even I spent a lot of time pretending to be folksy in Virginia and D.C. I'm always saying, all y'all and y'all. And I talk a little bit more like this around here, and I'm pretty comfortable talking like this a little bit, and I can go on for hours kind of talking like this, and it's no problem to me at all, no problem for me. And I call people brother, and I call people sister, and it's just easier for me sometimes than sounding like I'm like some nerd from the Northeast. And what does my accent sound like? I know I say things like water and so forth. So by saying water, that is a tell that I'm in fact from the Northeast. But what do you think? Anyway, you can reach me at +1 202-352-5051. Text, phone call, and WhatsApp. You can email me at chris@gerr.is or chris@abraham.su. You can come visit my HQ at chrisabraham.com. You can check me out on Twitter at chrisabraham, Instagram at chrisabraham, youtube.com/chrisabraham, linkedin.com/in/chrisabraham. You can find my Tumblr at chris-abraham.com. You can go to about.me/chrisabraham, I think. I'm at facebook.com/chrisabraham. And maybe that's it. Anyway, thank you so much for coming by, and I would love to start this conversation, so talk to you soon. Bye-bye.